many references in the Bible concerning healings, miracles, divine intervention. It was not, shall we say, wholesale in the Old Testament, but it was there. When Jesus came, it became wholesale. It was for everyone. There was a great prophecy by a brilliant court preacher under the anointing of God. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, the restoration of Israel was promised. And in all of that, in verse 5, the prophecy said, speaking of the coming of the Messiah, I'm sure that most of you who know the Bible know that, for example, Amos was a country preacher. But Isaiah was a brilliant court preacher. And Isaiah had more insight into the messianicship of the coming Messiah than any of the other prophets. And so, in verse 3, he says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. And he goes on with encouragement and admonition. But when he gets to verse 5, he says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, for each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Last night, I talked to you about healing and the miraculous. There's a tremendous verse of scripture just beyond the last reference I read to you last night. I read to you last night from Luke 5 and verse 17. But if you look in Luke's Gospel chapter 6 and verse 19, here is an incredible statement. It says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. However big that multitude was, that crowd was, the Bible says virtue went out of him to heal them all. I want to talk to you tonight about what I have seen. I have seen a Book of Acts revival in my own life and ministry. I've had it when others didn't have it, because I believe it, and it's the Word of God. And I have sought for 35 years to share it with others, wanting them also to have and to know what I have and what I know. I've met with opposition. I've met with all kinds of walls. But it doesn't detour me, because I was living for God before I met you. And I will be living for him after I have met you. My salvation does not depend upon my contact with you, nor my friendship with you. My contact with God is what really, really counts. Your contact with God is what really, really counts. Don't let anybody ever talk you out of it. So tonight, I want to work just around in the Spirit. And I want to tell you some things I've seen, because there are miracles here tonight waiting to happen. There are miracles in this congregation waiting to happen. Would you lift your hands and would you lift your voices and would you pray any way you want to pray, but make sure it's toward Jesus, the only true God. What is it in your heart right now? What is it that is going through your mind? What is it that your voice out and praise Him, worship Him, make petitions, let the tear flow down, but by all means lift your voice. Lord Jesus, tonight I praise you for the wonder working power of God. I thank you for the word of God that is filled with power, with might, with majesty. I praise you for the working of miracles. I praise you for the gifts of healing. I thank you that healing is irrefutably in the atonement. I thank you tonight that by your stripes we are both healed emotionally and physically, and that the prophecies declare that when the Messiah cometh, the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the lame man shall leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. I praise you for the holy word of the Lord and the powerful anointing that I feel upon us here tonight. This people has worked extremely hard, and the schedule has been grueling. So tonight I ask, take away the weariness from every man, woman, boy, and girl within the sound of my voice. Cause us to wait upon the Lord here and to renew our strength. I give you praise in the name of Jesus, knowing that you are answering as I speak and petition. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Baruch Hashem, Yeshua HaMashiach Hasar Shalom. Praise be to the Lord, for there is none so great and there is none so mighty. Step from behind the veil tonight. Step out of the shadows in among us and help us to remember when. Take us back to the place where we first found you. But God, work the miraculous among us. I give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' blessed and wonderful name. And everyone said, amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Would you clap your hands for the Lord tonight? And would you lift your voice of praise again? This Jesus is motivated by the sound of the voice of his people. He is motivated by worship. You can beg forever and you may never get it. But if you'll stop begging and just worship, suddenly the miraculous begins to happen. Because worship is the prerequisite to the miraculous. If you want a miracle, you need to worship. Don't beg and don't try to justify and don't plead your case. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. We'll never be worthy. Only He is worthy. But if we will worship Him, He will make us worthy. And He will do for us what we have need of. Because He is merciful. He is good. He is benevolent. He is everything. And more than I could put into words with adjectives and adverbs. He is God. And He is gracious. And He is wonderful. He is a counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. And of His kingdom, there shall never be an end. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I do not know why God heals some people and others are not healed. I've been in services where there were mighty healings, where there were tremendous miracles, and yet there were others who needed a miracle, who needed to be healed, and they were not healed. I don't know why. I have been in services where I was so sick and so weak, I had to hold on to the pulpit in order just to keep my balance, and God would perform all kinds of miracles among the people. I walked out untouched. And I remember once I said, "But God, what about me?" And he didn't seem to answer. I don't understand those things, but I know that God is a healer. And I know that his virtue flows out from us and among us one to another. The Bible says that we are to lay hands on for healing. The Bible says that we are to command it. The Bible gives us a name to use. There are scriptures to stand on. The Bible says, pray one for another that ye may be healed. I've thought a lot about that. I think we need to spend more time in our services praying one for another that ye may be healed. James said that. He said, pray one for another that ye may be healed. You have no idea what happens. I keep asking people to do this over and over and over again because I believe and know that God honors his word. I keep saying to people, lay your hands on someone. Get a hold of someone. Don't let go. You hear me do it year after year here. There's a reason for that. I know, I don't think or believe, I know that when we pray one for another, something happens when a believer reaches over and touches another person and begins to pray. Something happens. Because it is the way of God. Lift your hands again and let your voice out. Jesus, there are miracles here tonight waiting to happen. I do not intend to force anything. I just want you, Jesus, to do what you feel to do. And whatever you do, we will praise you for it. And whatever you do not do, we will praise you for it. But tonight, there are miracles here waiting to happen. I pray tonight that somehow we will be able to connect ourselves to the hem of your garment. That virtue will flow here tonight for every mortal that is here. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. I didn't think I would belabor this point, but perhaps I should. I know some of you have heard this before, perhaps more than once, but when I came into Pentecostalism, the thing that attracted me most to you was the preaching about the supernatural, about the miraculous and the great healings that you talked about in the messages that I heard before I ever was baptized or ever got the Holy Ghost. And then there were people who had personal testimonies that would come to me at the end of services, and they would tell me how God had miraculously healed them. I want to tell you, as a child in the Baptist church, I had never, ever seen, heard of, or even knew that God, or that we were expected to believe that God could perform the miraculous for us. I didn't find it in the Evangelical Free Church either, and Billy Graham doesn't preach it and talk about it, and he was my hero before I came into Pentecostalism. I still have a lot of his preaching records, LPs, from years ago. I never heard anything from among any of those people about healing, the power of God to deliver, the casting out of devils, the people getting out of wheelchairs. That is not mentioned there because they do not have the power to do it. Simple as that. They don't have it. That's why they don't preach it. But when I heard you, it was so different. And I had been injured terribly in a car accident. My spinal column was pushed out of alignment. I was just in terrible shape. I went to the doctor every other day. I couldn't make it sometimes from Friday to Monday. I'd have to call the office and go in and get help before I could go to work on Monday morning. I despaired of living when I was 19 and 20 years of age. I came home from the office and went to bed. I despaired of living. And then at 23, I came to you. You came to me. Whatever, however, we got connected. And when I saw people among a handful of you get out of seats and come down to an altar, and the man that was in the pulpit, whatever they called him, brother so-and-so, that's a totally different world in the Baptist church. You don't call people brother and all that. It's just reverend this and reverend that. But here you have all these titles and you have all these different phrases and you have all these different, everything's different here. In the church where I went, if you sneezed, it disrupted the service. Here you could die and people would just think you were slain in the spirit and nobody would worry. They just keep on going. They just keep on worshiping. But we would resurrect you later, I found out. That's how Pentecostals work. That's how they act. But they would take this bottle of oil and they would open it and people would come up there and he'd lay hands on them and he would pray for them in Jesus' name. And I thought, well, this is the most interesting thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And when you're really sick, when you're really, really sick and you're in pain, you don't care what you have to do, what needs to be done. You just want to get a hold of some remedy, some recipe that will get rid of the misery, that will get you delivered from what you're in. And though I was very shy and all of that, these people looked like respectable people. They had decent clothes. They could speak the language at least halfway correctly. And I could tell they had some kind of a job. And they had money to put in the offering plate. And they would stand after they'd been down here in touch with this oil. They would stand late in the service and say, I want to thank God for healing my body tonight. And tears would roll down their faces. And I got to thinking one night, I wonder if that would work for me. That is the thing that drew me to you. And on a Sunday night, just visiting there. I wasn't baptized, hadn't even been to the altar yet, and had no intention of going, by the way. But when I met Brother Butcher outside the church, and I said to him, and this is a common, everyday street vernacular terminology, but it was a rinky-dink situation that he had. It was it wasn't anything like this. It was just a basement. It was just a basement. But you know something? You could be in a dungeon, in a cave. But if you got two or three together in Jesus' name, I found out, you got a church. That's what you've got. You don't need this building. You just need two or three of us together in Jesus' name. And we're going to have miracles and we're going to have revival and we're going to have conversions and we're going to have deliverances. Because the church, I found out, is not a building. The church is us who are truly born again. So outside this building, this basement, they lived upstairs. I said to him, I said, Reverend Butcher, I want prayer for my body tonight. That's what I'd heard you say. I knew if I said that, he'd know what I wanted. He said, oh, Mr. Stonkey, we'd be very happy to pray for you. And so I went downstairs, and my hands were always clammy and wet in your services. My heart pounded. I was a wreck trying to get through it. And so... I was prepared for all of this, but they took off that night, Sunday night. They took off 95 miles an hour. They didn't start out with amazing grace. No, no, no. They took off about 95 miles an hour. I was still in about 10. I was going about 10, 15. I could not get into it. And I thought they had forgotten me and he'd forgotten my request. So when you're desperate, everyone say desperate, you'll do most anything, see? So in spite of my shyness and all of that, I raised my hand. I did not want him to forget me. I wanted to be prayed for healing. My neck was in horrible shape. My head, it was unbelievable some of the things I went through. And so I raised my hand, and he just stopped everything and said, "Yes, Mr. Stone King." I said, "I want prayer for my body." Then he says, "Come right now." Well, my heart nearly stopped beating. I don't know what's going to happen now. This is what I want, but I'm not sure how this is going to happen. And so everyone's just looking at me like you people do. And I got out of my seat, and I just walked down there. I knew what he was going to do because I had never closed my eyes. And all the times I was supposed to be praying, I was always watching. Like some of you have done here tonight, because I've watched you do it. I stood there, and he just opened that bottle of oil, the same thing I make spaghetti sauce with, same thing. Same thing. Olive oil. And he said, I anoint you with oil in the name of Jesus Christ for healing. All I did was raise my hands. I only raised them. I don't think they were more than shoulder height if they were that high. I mean, this is not my style at this point. You understand? I was here. More comfortable here, but this night here. And I simply whispered, "Jesus, I believe." That's all I said. I didn't know how to pray the way you people pray. I didn't know how to get into this the way you get into it. And thought I never would. But I may be one of the biggest offenders now. He didn't know my condition. I never told him. No one knew how bad I was. I walked back to my seat. I just sat down. And the service went on. And he preached this lengthy, lengthy sermon and all of that business. But before we got there, he passed the offering plate. And I think to myself, well, I'm going to be paying the doctor tomorrow night. I might as well pay God. So I just dropped in the offering plate what it would normally cost me to go to the doctor tomorrow night. I think they probably thought it was tithes. It wasn't. It was just paying the doctor bill to me in my head. And the service went on. And they preached this long service and begged for me to come to the altar, and I wouldn't go. And they finally gave up on me and closed the service, and I went home. Monday morning came, and when I got up, there was no pain. There was no pain. Everything was together. I had a great day. Tuesday came, there was still no pain. It was incredible. Wednesday came. I was still without pain. Thursday came. It was like a whole new life. I've been like this for years. Friday came, and the doctor's office called. And the receptionist said, she said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm home." She said, "Are you bedfast?" I said, "No." "You've missed all your appointments this week." And I never called, see. She said, "You've missed all your appointments this week." She said, are you sure you're all right? You're bedfast?" I said, "No, I'm fine." She said, "Well, what's wrong with you?" I said, "Well, I don't think you're going to believe this." I said, "But I went to a little church on the east side of Des Moines last Sunday night. And I said, they anointed me with oil and prayed for me in Jesus' name, and I've been healed." When I tell you that the doctor was furious, he was furious because I was a good patient. I mean, I went so many times, they gave me a discount. I had a discount. I went every other day, every other night after work, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Without fail, like clockwork. He said, "We want to see you." Well, they always want to see you. So I went in to be seen. And I gave him my whole story again. And you could see the animosity in his eyes. When I got all done, he said, "I'll give you 1 month And you'll be back to me in worse shape than you've ever been in. And I just grinned. I said, no, I don't think so. I think this is going to work. I don't think so. And a month came and went. 2 months came and went. And I still wasn't going back. And I'm 35 years beyond it now. And I've not been back. And it's still working. It is still working because it is Bible, and because Jesus said so. That's it, mother. You got a hold of something, mother. You got a hold of something right there. You got a hold of something. Healing is in your body. Healing is in your body right now because there's faith here. Tremendous faith. Clap your hands and rejoice with her for just a moment. Yes. Yes. The Holy Ghost is in this house. Faith is in this house. Miracles are waiting to happen in this house. They're beginning. So I went off to Bible school. And we'll keep doing this all the way through. Whatever you want to do, we'll do. I went off to Bible school and came home that first summer. And I went back to see Dr. Fuller. I walked in. He was much more pleasant now. I walked in and greeted him. And he said, Lee, it's so good to see you. He said, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing tremendous. I'm just doing tremendous, Dr. Fuller. He said, I want to show you something. And so he got up and went over to his file cabinet. And he got down and pulled out the bottom drawer. Everything was alphabetized, and he had all these files, and he went fingering through, and he found the S's, and he pulled out a file that said Stone King on it. And he brought the file over to me and held it up in front of my face, and across the bottom of the file, it was in the inactive files now. It wasn't in the top drawers. It was in the bottom in the inactive files. And across the file, he had written, Divinely Healed. Divinely Healed. And that's what I am, divinely healed. Not medically healed, but I am divinely healed. Say divinely. Divinely. So I had it, and I knew that I had it. And I said, Jesus, if you are this real, I will let go of my career in commercial art at Drake University. I will lay down everything. I will shout this from the housetops. If there is a Jesus that can still do these things in this hour, I will shout this from the housetop, no matter what anyone else does or says. And I got in that church and got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and got baptized in Jesus' name. And I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost October 6, 1963 on a Sunday night. Took Monday off, declared the national holiday for myself because God had finally given me the Holy Ghost, had finally gotten it. And I got it with pay, and I sat in the recliner all day long, and I sang hymns and spoke with tongues and practiced it. And I just had a holiday for myself. Because I felt like I deserved it. I mean, after all, you're not born again just every day. I had been born again, and I had been divinely healed. In fact, when I called the office on Monday morning, they said, what's wrong with you? Are you sick? I said, no, you wouldn't understand. I'm not going to be there today, but I'll be there tomorrow. Well, I was so excited on Monday morning, I called my landlord. I had my own home in Highland Park at that time in Des Moines, Iowa. And I called my landlord. I was buying this house from them. I called them, and Fred had already gone to work, and she was there, and she sounded pitiful on the phone. She said, oh, she said, I am so sick. I said, Ethel, God gave me the Holy Ghost last night. You know how you are when you first get it. You just don't think. Don't think. I would to God we'd never think. Just do it. Just tell it. Just let it go. That's our problem. We get to thinking too much. I said, I've got the Holy Ghost. She couldn't have cared less what I had. She said, I've had a migraine headache for 6 days. She said, I am so sick, I cannot get my head off this pillow. I said, I'm coming over. Because you had said, these signs shall follow them that believe. You said we could pray for the sick and they would be healed. That's what you told me. That's what you taught me. That's what they said from the pulpit here. That's what they said. And I believed it. I mean, everything else had come to pass. Everything else had happened. So I went over. The door was open. I went back. I had dinner with them many, many times. We were friends. I went back. She was lying, her white hair on the pillow. She looked like death warmed over. She was in pitiful condition. I said, Ethel, I've got the Holy Ghost. And now these signs follow them that believe. And they teach and preach in this Pentecostal church. You can lay hands on the sick and anoint with oil and they'll be healed. I said, have you got any oil in the house? You see, when you're sick in pain, you don't really care what is done just so something gets done. She said, well, I think there's some mazola oil in the kitchen. So I run off to the kitchen and I found this huge bottle of mazola oil. And I'm nervous. This is my first official anointing, you understand. This is my first official anointing and I am nervous. And so I take the lid off and I spilled it. I spilled the oil. I had oil all over my hands. I was anointed for the task. I was anointed. I tell you, I was anointed with oil. So I go in there. I slap my hands on her head. They slid right off because I just had oil. I got them back on. I said, I command this. I'm only just a few hours old in the Holy Ghost now. I've only had the Holy Ghost since about 1 o'clock in the morning. It's about 8:30 in the morning now. Just a few hours old, a brand new baby in Jesus. I said, I command this headache to be gone in Jesus' name. God didn't say what kind of oil. You could use pen oil. You could use Quaker straight. I don't care what it is, as long as it's oil. But there's one ingredient that has to be there. It has to be in the name. In the name. That's where the power is. It's in the name. In the name of Jesus. That's where it is. It's not in the oil. It's in the name. Do you get that? Do you feel it? It's in the name. And we've got the name. We've got the name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. When I took my hands off her head, she opened her eyes and she said, it's gone. She said, it's gone. People, it is supposed to be gone. Something is supposed to happen when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Something is supposed to happen. Say it does happen. Say it does happen. Say I've got what he's talking about. Punch your neighbor and say I've got that Holy Ghost he's talking about. Punch the other neighbor and say I've got the name he's talking about. See, both the name and his spirit is inside of me. Look at another neighbor and say, I'm dangerous. Do you understand? I'm dangerous. I'm dangerous because I'm one of them. I've got what they had in the beginning. I've got what they had in the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'll never forget it. When she cried, it's God. I knew I had something. I knew I had a hold of something. It's amazing. The people have tried to talk me out of this and discourage me out of it. It's like Peter in Caesarea Philippi stood and boldly declared, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. A Roman backdrop, a foreign city. He found the strength there to declare that Jesus was the Son of the living God. But in Jerusalem, the seat of Jewry, where the buildings were familiar to him, where the temple rose, where everything was strength to him in his religion and in his lifestyle, why couldn't he find strength in Jerusalem at the arrest of Jesus and the trial? Why couldn't he find the strength to be as bold in Jerusalem as he had been in Caesarea Philippi? There in Jerusalem, where he should have found great strength from the culture, from the surroundings, from the environment, from the seat of Judaism, the temple looming against the sky. Why, with all of that around him, could he not find the strength to declare there what he had declared in Caesarea Philippi? I'll tell you why. Because in Jerusalem, his brethren did not believe, and they ran. And it is very difficult to stand and believe when your brethren do not believe. That's part of our problem. That's part of our problem. We look to our peer group. We want their approval. I don't need your approval. I don't even want your approval. What I want is the hand of God and the breath of God and the Spirit of God. That's all that matters. If you like my preaching, great. If you don't, great. I'm not looking for your approval. I'm looking for His anointing and His approval. I have fought it for some 35 years, and I will continue to fight it. I'm telling you, here, this is our Jerusalem, right here. We're not asking you to go on the streets and do this yet. It's going to come to that. But here, inside these walls, where everything is familiar to us, where the choir sings and the preaching and the word of God and fellow people, we ought to find such great strength in here to believe for anything. But when you sit with people who don't believe it and who don't want it, nothing, I am determined, would ever detour me or will detour me. I'm looking for the people that want it, because they're the only ones it works on. The gospel was not designed for scoffers and mockers. It wasn't. I knew I had a hold of something, and I knew that this word of God was true. I knew it was. I still know it is. Someone not long ago said to me, this is Brother Stone King, are you surprised when you pray for people that they're healed? I said, no. I'm surprised when they're not healed, because they're supposed to be. And that's what I'm working on. That's what I'm working on. I have seen so many mighty, mighty things. I've had a Book of Acts revival in my own life. I've helped others to have it, but I'm not satisfied. There is more, and I want it. We have gotten to the place, Brother Stark, now, where people receive the Holy Ghost easily in our services. That used to be a big thing. We couldn't get them through. We took them to our district camp meetings every year to pray everyone through, because we couldn't get them through in our own churches. For years and years, that was the tradition among us in Pentecostalism. But all of a sudden, we broke through that. And now we don't really need district camp meetings, because people are getting the Holy Ghost in our services all the time. We don't need a camp meeting to get people prayed through. It's happening in our churches, respectively, everywhere. We've got to get to the point now where miracles happen in our churches all the time, easily, just like people getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the next great hurdle. That is the next great frontier. That is the wall that has to come down. And God is wanting to tear that wall down. I can feel, as it were, hands trying to tear the stones of the wall away. I can feel pressure against the wall to break it. And God is beginning to get through. If you want that with me, would you clap your hands? And would you lift your voice? Praise to the Lord. I want you to pray for just a moment. Say, Jesus, help me to take this back to my church. Help me to take this back to my church. Help me to bring it to pass in this church. If you belong to this church right here, say, Jesus, help me to bring this to pass, the working of the miraculous here in this church.
I tell you, we need to get the victory over this cancer devil. We need to get the victory over cancer. We have lost too many people to cancer. Jesus can take care of it in seconds. Jesus can take care of cancer in seconds. It's no big deal to him. It's no big deal. There's such a fear that grips people when the doctor says you've got cancer. There's a fear. They almost resign themselves to death. Nonsense. Jesus is bigger than cancer. He made a body out of clay. He can repair it.
I don't know how many of you could hear what I was saying last night, but there's a woman here that I met this summer in some meetings. Her name is Sister Mary. She came in on crutches where I was. She came in on crutches where I was. She sat there just not interested in this, and I went and prayed for her, and she wouldn't move. So I went on. She said to God, unknown to me, if this thing is real, send him back to me. Am I telling it true? She says, send him back again. I turned it about face. I thought, I'm going back for what? She didn't move the first time, but God said, go back. So I went back and prayed for her. This time she began to cry, and the Spirit of God came on her. To make a long story short, you may be seated. To make a long story short, God gave her the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and she had these, her legs were paralyzed, and her friends were helping her. And I get back to the hotel. They call me about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. She's screaming in the background in pain in her legs. She's just screaming over the pain. And all of a sudden, it dawned on her, I'm not supposed to be able to feel pain in my legs. And she realized that her legs had been healed. And she's here tonight without crutches, without paralysis. Why? Because Jesus of Nazareth is the same today, yesterday, and forever, and yesterday and today. However you want to say this, he is the same. You know what else? She has also, in that same service, she was healed of congestive heart failure, and the doctor does not understand what has happened to her. She's got it. She's one of us. I'm not talking to you about something that happened 1,000 years ago or 1,900 years ago. I'm talking to you about something that happens now. Would you want to scream a little bit? Would you want to shout a little bit? Would you want to get excited just a little bit? This Jesus is alive and well. Hallelujah. 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 I've seen some incredible things, just some marvelous things at the hand of God. I was eating in a restaurant one night with Gordon Poe in one of our large cities in the South. All of a sudden, we just began to eat. And we were talking, we were in the middle of this big restaurant, dining room. All of a sudden, George Hancock, a boy, I found out what his name is now, he came running to me. He said, we're over here. My family's over here. My mother has just had a stroke sitting at the table, and she is paralyzed. He said, would you come and pray? We dropped everything, jumped to our feet, ran over there in the middle of a restaurant in front of everybody, got a hold of this woman on that chair. She was just slumped over. We began to pray in Jesus' name and command in Jesus' name. The entire restaurant stopped eating and watched this procedure. Her children were crying. They were praying. They had their hands in the air. They were speaking with tongues. All of a sudden, the paralysis left her body and she straightened. God healed her instantaneously from that stroke in the middle of a dining room in a restaurant owned by sinners. I saw George this summer. His mother is still doing tremendous. She has been totally healed from that stroke. taught the Sunday school class one morning. Remember over there, that annex building? And there was this boy that came in on crutches. He was pigeon-toed, couldn't even walk. Remember him? And I talked along like this about faith, and the Holy Ghost fell among those young people, those teenagers in that particular conference and in that church. And I had to go out to check something, and I had to make a phone call. Was the reservations what it was? And the Spirit of God was moving, and those kids got so filled with faith in my absence, they got a hold of that boy and dragged him out of his seat and threw down his crutches, and they were dragging him around the room in Jesus' name. And he was trying to walk, but he couldn't, and they weren't going to give up, and they didn't give up. He just kept on, and they kept on, and they kept on. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost hit that boy, and his feet straightened, and his ankles released, and the boy was totally healed and stood upright, and the boy began to run around the room on his own by himself. Am I telling it straight? He was totally healed. So I said, let's take him into the morning worship service and just push him through the back door and let him run down the aisle in front of all of those people. So we took him over to the sanctuary. We just opened the back doors, and the people had seen him come and go. They knew he had been crippled. And so we just pushed him through the door, and I shouted, and we worshiped, and the boy began to run down the aisle, and the people looked at him and looked at each other, and then it happened. It hit them, and they fell out on the floor, and they got in under the pews, and the boy ran around the sanctuary. Say, it's here. You may be seated, but lift your hands and entertain the wonderful, miraculous power of the Lord that's here. Do you know that I don't have to lay hands on you for you to be healed? I don't have to anoint you with oil. The gift of faith has been in this house every night, every night, every night. Just as easily as you are seated there or standing there and you feel the Holy Ghost can just take out the tumor. He can burn out the cancer cells. He can cause that back of yours to straighten. He can cause an ankle to straighten. Just as easily as you feel him. Just as easily as you feel him. Because just one simple touch from him. When God healed me, I didn't feel anything. You don't have to feel anything. If your faith releases to him and God has touched you, there is nothing that the devil can do, or people, or criticism, or anything else. Lift your voice in loud acclamation for a moment. Jesus, I worship you because you are God, and the Spirit of the Lord was present to heal. And virtue went out of him, and he healed them all. Virtue went out of him, and he healed them all. Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus of Nazareth. The reason I'm talking to you like this tonight is because I'm being transparent with you as much as I know how. I want more of this. I want your help. I want you to pray for me. Something has got to happen. Something has got to happen. God wants to use somebody. He wants to use somebody. I know in the Spirit that there are people here tonight that the gifts of the Spirit rest upon. Some of you are involved with the gifts of healing in this place tonight. Some of you feel once in a while to go lay hands on someone and pray for them, but you don't do it. What you need to do is, when you feel to go pray for somebody, you need to go right then, because that's when it happens. That's when it happens. That's when it happens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we have time for this, and we'll carry on. But I want you to just do what you feel for a moment. Hallelujah. 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 Now, the Spirit of the Lord has just been moving through this congregation. And I know that people have been healed just through your worship, through your touch, and through what you have heard. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. If God has touched you and you feel he has touched you, I want you just to stand for a moment and worship the Lord. Then you may be seated again. But if you feel that God has touched you and healed you, I want you to simply stand and lift your hands and worship the Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sister Hughes, I don't understand this, but I feel that God wants to make you a compliment to your husband's mighty and wonderful ministry. I pray right now that God will give you boldness to move among the people, and especially the women, that God will use you, that great faith will flow through you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Such as I have, Sister Hughes, I give unto you in the name of Jesus. Anointing desire. Tammy, lay your hands on her and pray for her, because you are gifted. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And while believers are working with this boy here, I want you to go to someone and lay your hands upon them and pray for them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There are people here tonight who need to speak with tongues again. There are people here tonight who need to pray through into the Holy Ghost realm again. Tonight, if you will simply lift your hands and begin to worship God right there where you are seated, right there where you are standing, you will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost again. God is extremely merciful, and he is reaching to the backslider in this hour. He is reaching to the sinner in this hour. He is reaching to everyone in this hour. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Just lift your hands and let the Holy Ghost speak through you. In the name of Jesus. 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 Don't be afraid. I pray against all inhibition. I pray against all inhibition. In the name of Jesus. 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 Yes. In the name of Jesus. Release your faith. Release your faith. Release your faith. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. At this point, everybody should have a hold of somebody. At this point, everybody should have a hold of somebody. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, yes. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I pray for healing virtue to flow from one believer to another. I pray for healing virtue to flow from one believer to another. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, be thou made whole. Be thou made whole. Be thou made whole in the name of Jesus. Be thou made whole in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Such as I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.